a lot of Christians at some point have prayed the prayer, "Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours." It's a line from a Hillsong United song called Hosanna. And we've asked God to give us eyes to see his children the way he does and a heart to love them as he does. We've asked God to give us a heart for his people. This is an honest and a good prayer, and our desire should be to serve and to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we've been talking about just that over the past several weeks as we've shared about our spiritual gifts that we have as a special way of being able to serve one another. But we want to be able to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ and those who have rejected the faith because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit living within us, which should result for us in a changed heart and mind. And that's where our scripture for this morning comes in. This is Pentecost Sunday, and so we will be sharing from Acts chapter 2. But our scripture this morning that I want to share with you first comes from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. It says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We have the transforming power of Christ's Holy Spirit living in us. And so the things that break God's heart should also break ours. This week, though, we have not had to ask what breaks God's heart. We can see it all around us. We can hear it and watch it on the news around the clock. There was already sickness and job loss, financial stress and disagreement because of the pandemic, and then came more division, death, fear, hate, and destruction with the death of George Floyd. God's heart breaks for all of his children. It breaks for those who have loved him their whole lives and for those who've never known him. It breaks for injustice and oppression. It breaks for the sin and disease, loss, grief, pain, confusion, and struggle of his children and of this world. God's heart breaks for those who are in him, struggling to accept grace or to repent. It breaks for the ways that his own creation rejects him. No matter our political party, our color, our opinions about police, or our opinions about face mask, or any other divisive issue, we know that as followers of Christ, that the world around us is filled with brokenness. It's filled with sin and with hurt. And we know that God's heart breaks every day for so many things because God is love. That's what the scripture tells us. And so, as love, he is constantly being rejected, abused, hurt, and broken. I've had a difficult time sleeping the past few days, not knowing what to say or what to do. How do I respect the authority of my bishop and district superintendent that I do hold in such high regard? And they say that we should not meet in person yet. But how do I hold that in juxtaposition with our congregation who is aching to worship together in person? I've had trouble sleeping the past couple of nights because every social media post is the same as the conversations I've had previously with pastors of predominantly Black churches. They say together that we have to do something about the death and the injustice that is tearing us apart, but it seems that no one has one answer of what we can do. Many people want to say what not to do, but what do we do? I also struggle with the question specific to this day of Pentecost. How do we acknowledge the brokenness and the pain and celebrate at the same time the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, the birthday of the church, one of the largest celebrations of the Christian year? And I realized as I prayed and thought about this, that perhaps this isn't so much a juxtaposition, but the question and the answer together. Perhaps the coming of the Holy Spirit is the answer to all of the problems of what breaks God's heart and ours. As Ezekiel 36:26 says, God not only puts a new heart within us, one that sees the brokenness and the pain that he sees, but he also tells us in Ezekiel that he will put within us a new spirit, his spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ. God's Holy Spirit is the answer. Romans 8:26-27 tells us, in the same way, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case and unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows how the Spirit thinks because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. When we don't know what to say or what to do or even how to pray about the brokenness around us, the Holy Spirit groans for us, prays for us, seeks those answers for us. God's Holy Spirit is the answer. Think about the early church. They had none of the resources that we have today. No Wesley Center, no sanctuary, no offices, no written curriculum, no Sunday school, not even the written word in Bibles for each of our members to study at home. They had no budget, no church staff. With little education and resources, they were up against insurmountable odds. Their society was overrun with pagan cults and national gods, and there were tremendous cultural ethnic barriers to cross. As a group, they were an odd lot recruited from various walks of life, tax collectors, fishermen, you name it. Their leader had died a criminal's death, and they frequently saw jails and riots where they went. They even let women, slaves, and sinners be among their ranks. Yet, these believers in Jesus turned the world upside down with little of what we have today. They spread the gospel all over the countryside. Why? The Holy Spirit is the answer. Acts 1:8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus had just been teaching them about the kingdom of God and now was instructing them to go out and to tell others. But in order to be his witnesses, they first needed to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus told them to wait and to pray until the Spirit came. We read on in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, that they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. They weren't preaching, teaching, singing, or planning. They were praying constantly, just as Jesus said. They were convinced of one thing. They dare not go out before they received the power Jesus had told them about. The Holy Spirit is the answer. So I would like to invite you to join me, in 50 days of prayer to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. 50 days of listening to what breaks God's heart and groaning in prayer alongside the Spirit. 50 days of waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit and moving each time he nudges us to be his hands and his feet and his voice. 50 days of prayer, whether it's on our knees beside our bed or 50 days of prayer out on our feet in our community, walking and praying alongside people each day. 50 days of inviting the Holy Spirit into our world, our country, our state, our city, our church, our homes, but first, our hearts. God tells us in Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Let's ask God to begin this new Pentecost in our very own hearts before we take our first step toward addressing the brokenness around us. And Acts tells us these words that we can celebrate and look forward to in our own lives that describe that very first Pentecost, and I pray will describe a new Pentecost rising up within each of us. When Pentecost Day had arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven like the howling of a fierce wind filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be individual flames of fire alighting on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. The Holy Spirit is the answer. And out of that first coming of the Holy Spirit, the church was born. Thousands of lives were changed that very first Pentecost day. The Holy Spirit is the answer. Let us pray that He falls afresh on us this Pentecost. May He give us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. Please join me in prayer over the next 50 days. As I said before, you can pray at home or you can pray out in the community. Each day, we're going to have a guide for these 50 days of prayer. And each day, you'll have a different scripture and a different prayer focus. And if you choose, you can go to a place that connects with that focus. For instance, you could pray outside of City Hall on the day that we pray for our leaders, or outside of each church in our city as we pray for other believers who labor for the same kingdom. Join me in being like the first church who became Christ's dwelling place without a building. I know that we long to be back in our church building, but before we step foot there, before we step out in action about bringing reconciliation to the brokenness in our nation, before we take any of those steps, I hope that you will first join me in being the dwelling place for Christ's Holy Spirit. Join me as we invite the Holy Spirit through prayer into our community, our church, our homes, and our hearts. Let's pray together. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever enjoy your consolations. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.